Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, and welcome to the Curator Read Room. You got your Omega 7 live coming to you straight from my living room. I'd like to welcome you to the Talking Cure. That's right, we've got the Talking Cure, and I am your host. This is the Curator Read Room, and I'm glad you were able to join us. Thank you so very much for following through and being a part of our show today. Boy, do we have a treat for you. Stay tuned. We will be bringing you right into the poetry and the storytelling. And for your information, we have a guest this evening. Her name is Kitten Craig, and she'll be gracing our stage today and telling her own tale about school. She's an artist and a beautician, and she will be talking about poetry writing. And we will welcome her in a second. We're going to go right into our storytelling and give you her information. Thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Curator Read Room, and you have your Omi Inka live coming to you right from my living room. I'd like to welcome you, and I also like to encourage you to get out your books. If you haven't already went and got a book, that's right, we're doing the Spider Bargain with God. That's right. I was so anxious and could not wait until we got to this segment about how Spider wanted to bargain with God. I'm going right into the segment because we have a guest, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be on shortly, and we'll be talking with her about her poetry writing. She is an artist and also a beautician. Spider's bargain with God, ladies and gentlemen. Here's our objective, and this is why we had to have objectives, because we want you to understand what tricksters are. To recognize the trickster's characters, we want you to understand what does it mean to be a trickster. To identify tricksters in popular culture, because they're only in certain cultures, ladies and gentlemen. And bring your children in, because I will be reading some other short stories about Anasaw, the trickster. We want you to understand the function of animal character in the folktale. Yes, in these stories, animals do talk, and we want you to understand that. We want you to relay the stories that involve the trickster. Why is the trickster trying to trick God? Now, these are myths. The word folkloid is the most general in the term of including folk tales, folk songs, and many ballads as well. And they're called folk songs and myths and legends. And we oftentimes pass them on as being truths. Now, although folklore is read cheaply for entertainment, ladies and gentlemen, today, it was considered to be a serious part of the teaching in our early culture. In our heritage, we passed it down. It was a nomenclature that was required of us. Thus, myths were oftentimes tied to people's religion. For example, you'll hear me say that these come from the Asante tribe or from the Yoruba tribe. They were tied to their culture, and we'll be doing some of those stories that are tied to certain culture. Now let's get into some of the questions asked. The questions and motivation here, why we decide to do this. Now, in addressing the different levels of ability, I know there are many different levels, but we're going to offer up challenging opportunities for all people in the room, adults as well as children. This is appropriate. Now, what bargain does Anissa make with the sky god? We're talking about the sky god. Anissa sees the beauty in telling stories. It's almost taken from a scripture in the Bible when Jesus is out in the courtyard doing his work and healing. Then there was one rich man who asked to buy his gifts, similar to the story. Anissa sees the sky god, and Anissa wants to buy these gifts. And why does Anissa seal the leopard's eyes? He tricks the leopard, but he has to seal his eyes in order to get him to go along with it. And the panther, he also tricks the panther. And why do you think the sky god is pleased, even though the spider will have stories told about him? The sky god knows what he's doing. For example, there's a rivalry between Anissa and the sky god, and they appear in many different tales, and you'll see that. I'll be telling you some stories from Anissa. And why do you think Anissa wants to buy the sky? Because he wants the gifts that God has. He wants to be able to produce from the source that God does. Now, what does this show about Anissa? What is the character? In my opinion, it shows that Anissa wants to be famous, and he is very vain, so he wants to gather all of this information for himself. Now, I want to also say that Anissa is a trickster, and we know tricksters can be fun sometimes. Is it? Tricksters can be fun sometimes, and tricksters can also be a nuisance. Anissa becomes friends with everyone, even with the sky god. That's right, Anissa becomes friends with the sky god. The sky god admires Anissa. Now, in many folk tales, the hero or the shero needs to accomplish a task. And it appears that Anissa had to accomplish the task. I want you to look for the task that Anissa had to accomplish. What are the three tasks? I want you to find the three tasks that were set before Anissa. What tricks does he use to succeed? Now, when I began to read, I picked up some of those. I'm going to help you out a little bit. Anissa had to bring a live leopard, a pot of live bees, but he had to trick these people to get him to do it. And a live panther to the sky god. These are like sacrifices for the sky god. He tricks the leopard into having his eyes sewn shut. He tricks the bees by enclosing them in a pot. He tricks the panther by tying him to a stick. How cruel, you say. But nevertheless, the sky god admires Anissa for his cleverness. Now, Anissa doesn't have a bit of wisdom, but he has a lot of cleverness. How does Anissa rely on the weakness of these animals? What does he do? He tries to satisfy their curiosity. He gets them curious in what he's doing, and then he brings them in through his vanity. And why do you suppose people of different cultures find the trickster to be admirable? Like I said, a lot of people they loved him. They invited him over, included him in all kinds of things, and made sure that he was satisfied. What other stories do you know that you can talk about or the heroes and sheroes that accomplished seemingly the possible same, they had tasks just like Anissa? Can you think of any? Like Roadrunner, Bugs Bunny, or the Ninja Turtles? They were all tricksters. Now, what other stories do you think that you know about that are in the African race? I want you to look them up. Now, here I'm going to assign you some work to do. And I'm going to get you busily off writing in your journal because it's very, very important right after we read this poem. Now, I want you to recognize the trickster's figures and why he has to do these things. He wants to make a deal with God. If you give me your gifts, I will bring you all the things you ask. Can we make a deal with God? No. But in this story, because animals are talking and they're clever and doing things, Anathel makes a deal with God. Let me go on to tell you some other stories that come right out of some of our great books about the great Anathel. He's known as the great trickster, the great trickster. Now, I'd like to just tell you a little bit. The trickster is the most believed and beloved character in stories all around the world. To the people of Africa, the trickster is Anathel, the spider among the Asante, and the tortoise among the Yoruba-speaking people. Okay? Now, it's very important that you understand that Anathel is loved by these people. All right? Sometimes the trickster is the character who takes fire from nature and gives it to the people, or he does some other good deed to trick nature or evil spirits to help the people. Then the people are willing to forgive the trickster for his childish little pranks out of gratitude to him for his good deeds of offering up gifts to them. People love the trickster because he is the little guy who gets the better of the bigger opponent. We do not always like what the trickster does, for he is often silly, greedy, and selfish, but we admire his childlike charm and quick wit. Though he is often lazy, the trickster also shows how human beings must be constantly on guard against the things that can happen in nature, like floods or storms or fires. Now, I'd like to tell you a story from the African-American folktale in The Young Reader. Young readers, gather around, and this is the American storyteller from August House. Now, this is the story of Anathel, who tried to steal all the wisdom in the world. This story is retold from folklore based on the stories of Lynn Cable. He begins with the statement, "We do not really mean it," and you know what's going to happen next. Used by some of the Ashanti people to tell listeners that the story is not part of their history. All right, let's go on. Settle down and listen and enjoy. We do not really mean it. We do not really mean it. But they say Anathel the spider knew that he was not wise. He was clever but not wise. He thought, if I can get all the wisdom in the world and put it in a gourd, then I will be very wise when compared to everyone else. He went around from the village to village carrying a gourd. He asked everyone to put some of the wisdom in the gourd. They laughed. "You think I'm crazy, Anathel. I'm not going to give all my wisdom away to you." But they did. Each gave Anathel some wisdom, knowing he could certainly use it, of course. Soon he had a whole gourd full of wisdom. Anathel tried to think where to put it. No one else could use it, making himself wise by comparison. He looked up a tall tree and decided, "I guess I'll put the gourd up there where no one can find it." Anathel took a cloth and a binder and tied it around his waist and put the gourd in the bin in front of his stomach. He began to try to climb the tree, but the gourd filled of wisdom got in the way. He could not climb through the tree. He tried and tried. Along came Anathel's son, his young son. He said, "Father, what are you doing?" "I'm climbing this tree with this gourd full of wisdom." "But Father, it will be better if you put the gourd behind you in the bin instead of in front." Anathel stood there quietly for a long, long time. And then he said, "You be going home now?" The young spider went home quickly. Anna saw move the gourd in the band at his waist. This time he put it behind him. He climbed the tree. From the top of the tree, he spoke out loudly, "I collected a whole gourd full of wisdom, and my baby son is still wiser than I am. Take your wisdom back." Anna saw cracked the gourd open and scattered the wind, first to the east, then to the west, then to the south, and then to the north. The wisdom floated down everywhere. That's wisdom. And anyone who did not run there in time to pick some of the wisdom up is forgiven. And just forgive me for saying it, is a fool. This is my story. And if it is sweet or if it is not sweet, take it home with you and let some of it come back to me. The end. Now, Anna saw, being the trickster that he was, he went on to be a trickster. There's another story, why Anasaw has a narrow waist. I think you will enjoy that story. For some of you who are soul food preparers and love cooking soul food, this story, as told by Lynn Gable, is one of the many Anasaw stories from the Taishi speaking Ashanti people of the region of White Volta and Black Volta River on the western coast of Africa, just above the equator. One day, Anasaw, the spider, was walking along when he suddenly smelled something delicious. He smelled greens cooking in someone's pot. Oh, my Jesus, God, there's greens cooking in someone's pot. Anasaw loved greens so badly. So he went into the village. The people saw him, and they all loved Anasaw. So they said, "Come on in, Anasaw. Sit down and tell us a story. When the greens are done, we'll have you for lunch." "Oh, well," said Anasaw, who was sometimes rather lazy and didn't like to cook anyway, "I have an errand to run, if you don't mind. But I'll tell you what. I'll spin a web thread and give you one end of the string, and I'll tie the other end around my waist. When the greens are done, just give me a pull on that string, and I'll come to join you for lunch, okay?" They all agreed, and that's what he did. He left with the string tied around his waist and walked into the road again. He went a little further, and he smelled beans cooking. Anasaw got all beside himself. He said, oh, I love beans. I just love beans. Beans are good. So he went into the village, and the people saw him, and they all love Anasaw. So they said, "Come on in, Anasaw. Sit on down and tell us that sweetest good story that you always tell. When the beans are done, Anasaw, we'll have you for lunch." "Oh, well," said Anasaw, "I have an errand to run, but I'll tell you what. I'll spin a thread and give you the end of the string, and I'll tie the other end to my waist. When the beans are done, you will give me a call, won't you? Just pull on the string, and I'll come back to join you for lunch." They all agreed, and that's what he did. He left the second string tied around his waist and walked into the road again. He went a little further, and he smelled yams. Oh, goody, good yams. They're good for you. Cooking, and Anasaw said, "I love yams. Oh, I just love me some yams." So he went into the village, and the people saw him, and they all loved Anasaw, as you know. Anasaw said, "I just love beans." He said, "Come on in, Anasaw. Sit on down, Anasaw, and tell us that sweet story that you always tell. When the yams are done, Anasaw, we'll have you for lunch." "Oh, well," said Anasaw, "I have an errand to run, but I'll tell you what. I'll spin a thread and give you one end of the string, and I'll tie the other around my waist. And when the yams are done, just give me a pull on the string, and I'll call, and I'll come, and I'll have lunch with you. And that's what he did. Pretty soon, Anasar was sitting in the bushes, waiting quietly with 8 strings tied around his waist, waiting for one pot of lunch to get done. Just then, the people cooking greens tasted the greens, and they were just right. They pulled on the string and said, "Come on, Anasar. Anasar, come on, the greens are done. Come on in here now." Anasar felt the pull and said, "Oh, the greens, I love me some greens. I got to get down there." He was about to go to that village, but just then the people cooking the beans tasted the beans, and they were just right. They pulled on that string and said, "Come on, Anasar, come on here now, Anasar. The beans are done. They're about to burn." Anasar felt that pull and said, "Oh, beans, I love me some beans. I just love me some beans." But now he was being pulled in two ways. Just then the people cooking yams tasted the yams, and they were just right. They pulled on the string and said, "Come, Anasar, come on, Anasar. We're not going to be waiting on you too much longer. Now, Anasar, come on here now." Now, Anasar was being pulled in three different ways. Just then, all the cooking pots were ready, and all the village and all the people pulled on their string and said, "Come on, Anasar, come on, Anasar, come on here now, Anasar." I said, "Come on here now, Anasar. Anasar, you ought to come on now, because you're about to miss your meal, Anasar. Come on here now. Come on here now, Anasar." Anasar was pulled this way and that way, and his waist was smashed very, very thin. He didn't get any lunch at all because he had been so greedy. And to this day, Anasar the spider still has a very narrow waist. The end. Ladies and gentlemen, I might have time for just one more. Looks like our caller, we don't have her on the line. I might have to see what is going on so we can get on her on here. Anasar and the turtle. Now, one day Anasar was just sitting down to the table in his house to eat some baked yams. Now, turtle had been crawling all day long, just traveling from one place to the other. And just as he came to Anasar's house, he smelled the most delicious food he had ever smelled. Since he had been traveling all day, he was so hungry, so very hungry, he went up to Anasar's house and knocked on the door like this. "Anasar, oh, Anasar." Anasar came to the door looking real mean, hoping that whoever had knocked would go away. He pretended not to see Turtle and gazed up high as he looked out the door. "Down here," said Turtle, who is very low to the ground. "Down here, I'm down here." "Oh, it's you, Turtle," said Anasar. "What do you want?"
"Well, I have been traveling all day," said Turtle, "and I was wondering if you could share your meal with me."
Now, Anasar looked down at Turtle and said, "Oh, all right, come on in here." For you see, it was the polite custom in Anasar's country to share their meal with anyone who came to your door at mealtime. Anasar brought Turtle in and said, "Sit down, have a seat." Turtle crawled up in the table and sat in a chair. "Help yourself," said Anasar. Turtle was just about to help himself to the baked yam on the table when Anasar hollered out, "Turtle, don't you know better than to come to the table with dirty hands?" Turtle looked down at his hands, and sure enough, they were dirty because he had been crawling all day. So Turtle got up and went outside to the creek. He washed his hands, and for good measures, he washed his face too. By the time he got back to the house and crawled up in the chair, Anasaw had already started to eat. But as Turtle started to help himself, Anasaw said again, "Turtle, I told you you can't come to the table and help yourself with dirty hands." Turtle looked down, and sure enough, his hands were dusty again because he had crawled back up in the trail from the creek and the tail was dirty. So Turtle got down from his place and started down the trail again. And meantime, Anasaw was eating as fast as he could, stuffing his face, trying to eat everything so that he wouldn't have to share. Turtle got down to the creek and washed his hands again. But this time, when he came out of the creek, he made sure he crawled back on the grass. He got back to the house, back up to his place at the table, and started to help himself. But Anasaw was just stuffing the last bit of the yams in his mouth. Yum. Turtle looked at Anasaw and said slowly, "Thank you for sharing your meal with me, Anasaw. If you were ever in my part of the country, I don't know what I would do. Why don't you come to my part of the town? By then, I will be able to share my meal with you." Turtle crawled down and went on his way. He was very angry. Anasaw thought about it, and wanted to enjoy that free meal at Turtle's house. Finally, after a few weeks, he couldn't stand it any longer, so he set out to find where Turtle lived. Anasaw got up early one morning and began to travel. He crept from one bush to another all day long, just taking his time until he finally came to the place where Turtle lived. Now Turtle lived at the bottom of the creek, but as Anasaw walked up, Turtle was sitting on the bank. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is here. We're going to bring her in the atmosphere. Thank you so very much. We'll continue that story with Turtle on Monday. All right. Hello.
Hi.
In the atmosphere. Hello. And ladies and gentlemen, our guest is here. And I want to introduce her. Her name is Tina Gray. And did I pronounce your name right?
No, I'm Kitten Gray.
I want to give her a new name here, Tina. Kitten Gray. And Kitten Gray is, she's an artist. She's also a beautician. I met Kitten, and it was a spiritual thing that drew us together. She is a poet, and I am in love with poets because they're so creative. And everything about her says that she lives from the right side of her brain. She is so creative in wrapping galas and designing jewelry and also braiding hair. So we talked about the natural hair and how it was so important for us to keep the kink in our hair so that our night ether can be able to receive energy. I think Kitten will go into that and go in depth about that. But Kitten is from the South Suburban area of Chicago by way of Hammond, Indiana. She lives here in Hammond, Indiana. And I want her to tell you about any activities she's got coming up. Her daughter is also an artist, a poet, and she's an entrepreneur. And I try to praise as many entrepreneurs as I can. And I would like to have her do some poetry, and I'm going to have her come on shortly. Are you ready, Miss Kitten?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You have the atmosphere. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Miss Kitten Gray.
Good evening, audience. This is my first time doing something like this, so bear with me. I'm a little nervous, but
that's
my name
right.
is Kitten Gray, and I do own a salon. It's called Kitten Tia's House of Beauty. It's located at 5917 State Line Avenue in Hammond, Indiana. I sell some really nice handmade jewelry as well as head wraps. I teach women how to wrap their hair and just to show their natural faces. Also, I promote healthy hair. I would like as many women to wrap their hair this year as possible, giving their hair a break from the chemicals and just treating the hair. And at the end of 1 year of wrapping, I'd like you to see what you have. So I don't know what else to say, but I could start my poem.
Ms. Kitten, I want you to tell them all about your creative ability when you start writing poetry and what influenced you to write poetry, and give us some of your special selections.
Well, as far as poetry goes, I'm actually not the writer. I recognize beautiful poetry. My daughter is a writer, and I like to perform others' work.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Take it away. We're at our last few minutes here, but we're going to go as far as we can because we wanted to get you in there. So go ahead, Kitten, and start reading some of your dissertation for us in the poetry.
Okay, this one that I'm about to do is the writer of it, the author of it, is DMX, and it's A Talk with God. I come to you hungry and tired. You give me food, you let me sleep. I come to you weak, you give me strength, and that's deep. You call me a sheep and lead me to green pastures, only asking that I keep the focus in between the chapters. You gave me the word and only ask that I interpret. You gave me eyes so that I may recognize the serpent. You know I ain't perfect, but you like me to try. Unlike the devil who just wants me to lie until I die. Lord, why is it that I go through so much pain? All I saw was black. All I felt was rain. I come to you because it's you who knows. You showed me everything was black because my eyes were closed. You gave me your light and let me bask in your glory. So it's only right that when you ask for this story, I put it together to do our peeps some good, our peeps being the brothers and sisters in the hood. Many of times you've sent help my way, but I hid. And I remember once you held me close, but I slid. There was just something that I had to see that you wanted me to see so I can be who you want me to be. And I think I've seen it, Lord, because I don't feel the same. Matter of fact, I know I've seen it because I can feel the change. And it's strange how it's got me beating down your door, for I've never known love like this before. It's a wonderful feeling to get away from the pain, and up under your ceiling, I get away from the rain, and the strain that I feel when I'm here is gone. I know real, so I'll wipe away my tears and go on. But I almost lost faith when you took my man, my cousin, my brother, my main man, and I fear that what I'm saying won't be heard until I'm gone. But that's cool, because I never expected to live long. But if it takes for me to suffer, for all my brothers and sisters to see the light, give me pain until I die, Lord. But please, Lord, treat them right.
I love that one. Excellent. Do you have
any more
that you could share with us?
I got another one. Is there time?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay, this one is by Maya Angelou. I'm sure people are familiar with it, but it's one called Phenomenal Woman.
Okay.
I lost my words.
That's okay. Take your time. Would you like me to read something while you're trying to get your words? Okay. Now, this is called One Thing I Don't Need, and this is by Enzagu Kishane. It's an African name, and she writes, One Thing I Don't Need. One thing I don't need is any more apologies. I got sorrows greeting me at my front door. You can keep yours. I don't know what to do with them. They don't open doors or bring the sun back. They don't make me happy or get morning paper. Didn't nobody stop using my tears to wash cars? 'Cause I'm sorry. I am simply tired of collecting them. I don't know. I was so important. It was so important to you. I'm going to have to throw some away. I can't get to the clothes in my closet for all of your stories. I'm going to take a sign and tack it to my door. Leave a message by the phone if you call to say you're sorry. Call somebody else. I don't use them anymore. I let Sarah and didn't mean it and how to do. I know I let them go. Take a walk down the dark, dusty, musty road in the streets in Brooklyn, and I'm going to do exactly what I want to, and I won't be sorry for none of it. Let a sorry, soothing year's soul, I'm going to smooth mine. You were always inconsistent and doing something and then being sorry for it, and then being sorry for it. I don't need no more sorrows. No, I don't. Beating my heart to death, taking bouts, you talking about you sorry. Well, I will not call. I'm not going to be nice. I will raise my voice and I'll scream and holler. I'll break things and race the engine. I'll tell all your secrets about yourself and your sorry self. I will list in detail every one of my wonderful lovers and their ways. I will play Oliver Lake and Loud, and I won't be sorry for it. I love you on purpose. I love you on purpose. I was open on purpose. I still crave voluntary closure, and I talk, and I'm not even sorry about you being sorry. You can carry all the guilt and grime to you want to. Just don't give it to me. I can't use another sorry. Next time you should admit you meant low down, filthy, you no good, straight talking, being sorry, wannabe. That's enough. For me, I don't want no more sorrows. You think you thought of it? Thank you so much. Have you thought of it?
Yes.
Go ahead. I just want to fill this space for you.
Pretty women wonder.
Okay.
You ready? Pretty women wonder just where my secrets lie. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size, but when I try to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say it's the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, and the curl of my lips, 'cause I am a woman, phenomenal woman. That's me. I walk into a room just as cool as you please. And to a man, the fellows stand all fall to their knees. They swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, and the joy in my feet, 'cause I am a woman, phenomenal woman, that's me. Men themselves have wondered just what they see in me. Oh, they try so much, but they cannot touch my inner mystery. And when I try to show them, guess what? They still can't see. But I say it is the arc of my back, the sun in my smile, the ride of my breath, and the grace of my style. 'Cause I am a woman, phenomenal woman, that's me. Now you understand just why my head is never bowed. I don't have to shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. when you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say it is the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palms of my hands, and the need for my care. 'Cause I am woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me.
I love that poem, Maya Angelou. Ladies and gentlemen, you know how we love Maya Angelou. Thank you so much, Ms. Gray, for your lovely poetry and your contribution. I think that the audience is going to really, really value this particular segment. I like to say that African-American women have struggled for a place in society since they were brought to the country as slaves. They performed strenuous labor and gave birth to children who often were taken away from them. And after slavery, well into the 21st century, it was women who were able to find jobs, and most oftentimes as housekeepers and cooks and maids. We weren't noted for our gifted poetry and our oratory. But now, I am woman, hear me roar, and we are going to come out of the closet and speak and lecture and give wisdom where it's needed. As wisdom cries out in the courtyard, we're going to provide that. And I'm so happy that women are coming out and being able to demonstrate the gifts from the right side of their brain. And I'd like to also say that African-American women are writers now. They're creating their own plays. They use characters that they come with from heaven. They actually are gods. African women are goddesses. And when we create from our substance as a god. So when you ever let African Americans be able to lead and to rule anything, know that it is going to be wholesome and complete. Just like our poetry, when we write it so that it speaks to the occasion. We write the poetry so that it touches somebody's life. In other words, we tell epics, we tell stories. We try to be like Anna saw, and we try to give a